Hey, everybody. Yeah, I got real soft with Regina's teaching. It's just like I'm just melted in this chair. It's almost more than I can do to speak. Certainly that's infectious quality. You know, when you're soft, the people around you become soft as well. So, gosh, it was just really... Okay, so let's get grounded. So I woke up this morning, the song keeps running through my head, running through my head, running through my head. So I'm going to play it for you. and let me do that now.
Before a following sea, she was making for the trades on the outside, and the downhill run to Papa Ete. Off the wind on this heading live the Marquesas, we got 80 feet of a waterline, nicely making way in a noisy bar in Avalon, trying to call you. Realized why twice you ran away. Think about how many times I had fallen. Spirits are using me, larger voices calling. What heaven brought you and me, can I be forgotten? When you see the Southern Cross for the first time, you understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow, my dreams are a-dying, and my love is an anchor tied to you,
tied with a silver chain.
I have my ship, and all her flags are a-flying. She is all that I have left,
and music is her name.
Think about
how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me, larger voices calling. What never brought you and me, can I be forgotten?
And we never failed to fail. It was the easiest thing to do. You will survive. Somebody fine will come along, make me forget about loving you. In the Southern Cross,
So when that song came and came and came and came, I actually quit. I'm like, really? You know, it doesn't seem quite on point. And frankly, I thought that version had the lyrics, but I looked at the lyrics a little bit earlier. It's just such a sweet song. You know, it's like I hear these voices calling, there's something larger calling me. And yet I'm tied to, you know, whatever's back home. And I'm hearing this theme over and over and over again. I'm hearing it in our gentle healing class. I heard Regina teaching. I heard Anne teaching it. What do you want? What's important to you? You know, the call is clearly there. The call is there for each and every one of us, or we wouldn't be here. But really, when you make an assessment of what's important to you, where do you land? And, you know, it's just so cool to, you all have heard me go on and on about this. It's a great retreat. If it's offered next year, you'll want to be sure and attend it, that Resolving for Truth retreat. You know, what's important to you, and is what you're doing, where you're focusing your attention, how you're spending your time, is that in alignment with your heart's true desire? And again, that's without recrimination. This is an invitation. It's an invitation, really, for us to take stock and go, oh, again, just like that TED Talk we listened to last week. Oh, I want to be 10 pounds lighter. Maybe I ought to put this donut down, right? Is what I'm doing aligned with what I really want? You know, it's that split within ourselves that we're invited to look at. So anyway, so I think that song is, you know, man, and it brought tears to my eyes. It's just like, you know, that call, that longing, that invitation is just so strong. And it just feels like such a gift. Oh my God. And I assume everybody has that call, not just the folks here in the room. I assume that's what folks are doing when they're looking for happiness in this or that, you know, I don't know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, however they're trying to find their happiness. But to hear it and to recognize it for what it is, the call home, man, we are blessed indeed. Hope that wasn't important because it just fell on the floor. All right, here we go. By the way, Don, I wanted to ask you, are you teaching Locke Kelly? No? Okay. All right. So I'm going to start us quarter after the hour. I'm going to start us out with a Locke Kelly glimpse. And I will I'm going to share some music in order to do that. Sorry, guys. These days I'm going to do that today. So this is a glimpse called Mind Gap. Don, how's my voice in relation to the music? Is it okay? All right, good. Thank you. So let me give you a little introduction to the glimpse first. Locke says, this glimpse, Mind the Gap, is about finding awake awareness in the gap between thoughts. You may know a meditation practice where you repeat a word or a sacred phrase known as a mantra. Here, you'll focus not on the word or its meaning, but on the space and awareness between words. The intention is to give the thinking mind the simple task of repeating a word to occupy it while you become aware of the gap between your thoughts. As you explore the presence of awareness in space, you may begin to notice that the space between and around the words is the same continuous field of awareness that you are aware from. So, if you haven't already, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Release. Begin by silently and slowly repeating in your mind, blah. B-L-A-H, blah. So begin by silently and slowly repeating in your mind, blah, with some space in between. Blah. 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 Allow the word blah to float through the space of your mind like a feather. Don't create any other thoughts or be interested in any thoughts that arise. Let blah occupy all the interest and activity of thinking. Begin to be aware of the thought-free space between the words. Blah. Space. Blah. Space. Next, become more interested in the quality of the space between the words. See if you notice that the space is not just a gap, but that the space itself is aware. Feel the spacious awareness in between the words and all around them as a field of awake awareness in which the word blah and other thoughts now appear. Feel your mind not as a solid thing, but as clear, open, and aware. Feel and be awareness that is awake and alert without needing to go to thought for a second opinion. Be aware of the feeling of thought-free, alert clarity. Notice the ease and natural welcoming of all experiences that arise. And you can open your eyes. Let me tell you what Locke had to say about that. He says, while doing this practice, you may have noticed that there are two kinds of space. One is the physical space in the room, the absence of objects and content. The other space is presence that is aware and awake. What you've just experienced shows that you can be aware, knowing, and intelligent without relying on thinking. Whether there are thoughts or no thoughts on the screen of your mind, there is a background knowing that can move to the foreground and then become the ground of your being. This silent, spacious awareness doesn't use thought to look to other thoughts to confirm that you know what you know. Yeah, and that's, we talked about that last night in General Healing. There's a background knowing that can move to the foreground. Whether there are other thoughts or no thoughts on the screen of your mind, there's a background knowing that can move to the foreground and then become the ground of your being. Sweet. Did anybody want to share their experience with blah, blah, blah? I'm George.
You know, I had the silence seemed like the ocean and the word seemed to be floating.
Oh, sweet. How sweet. That's awesome. I was particularly drawn to that exercise because I liked the fact that it's like, I liked the irreverence in it. You know, this isn't a magic trick we're performing here. This is what really is. You don't have to say some incantation to notice the space between words or the space between thoughts. And I thought the word blah brought that right home. So thank you for playing along. Yeah. So what I'm going to do now is move to my journal. I don't have the date on this one. It's on another page apparently. But this was in response to a General Healing Year 1 lesson 320, to a tip about choice A and choice B. And I think I wrote this. I don't think this is part of the tip. I'm pretty sure I wrote it. Choice A, the choice to directly experience and abide in truth, is the only sane choice, and therefore the only one I want. That choice is not a one and done. That choice is made over and over and over again. Pray without ceasing is not an admonition. It is the law of love, the law of creation. It is the way that the world and the self that I experience is created. This is the central thread in all of the quotes that we read. I experience that which I choose. I choose either my heart or insanity. No matter how shiny the other choice seems at any choice point, I choose either my heart, my truth, or insanity. Let me remember these two choices. I don't know that I have any comment on that, except that I'm not surprised to pick this up and see again this, you know, this same theme, right? It may seem shiny. It may seem like, you know, something back home's calling me. You know, back home meaning the girl I left behind, right? Or the guy I left behind. But I want to always remember two choices, my heart, my truth, or insanity. Ego screams that choice A demands too much. Ego screams that choice A is but a sacrifice to a likely non-existent goal that can never be achieved. Truth isn't true, and even if it were true, you couldn't achieve it anyway. So, you know, come on, just let's go have a good time. That's what ego says. But as I choose with the heart in each moment, I am rewarded in that moment. You know, isn't that the truth? Ego's like, forget all that crap. Come on. Let's just go have a good time. But it's a promise. It's always a promise down the road. You know, like Regina was saying a minute ago, down the road, we're going to be so happy. Just do what I tell you. And, you know, it's all going to work out great. But the choice for the heart is rewarded immediately in that moment. I feel the effects of that choice. It is choice B that makes promises that cannot be kept. It is choice B that slyly counsels that I betray myself. Wow. Again, look what we're talking about. What's important to me, and is what I'm doing aligned with what's important to me? Or am I falling for this trickster who goes, yeah, we'll get to that later. Is it choice B that slyly counsels that I betray myself, that I betray my own truest desire? Choice B only seems to remain an option because it is cloaked in lies. By following my heart, I learn the lies and broken promises of the ego are all it has to offer. I learn that my true desire is true. I learn to throw off the fear, doubt, and disbelief that lead to my own misery and the misery of others. Instead, I take up the challenge to remember my true desire by listening to the quiet counsel of the heart. I am blessed and humbled to follow my heart. You know, again, that song comes back. It's like, you know, spirit's calling me, larger voices are calling me. You know, it's bigger than little old me, right? That's why I'm humbled. I'm so humbled to be included in this love, you know, this love that is. I'm blessed and humbled to follow my heart. I'm here. I'm listening. I am the devotion of the heart. And the tears that I felt with the song and that I'm experiencing now, again, is just the recognition of the magnitude of the truth. So far beyond the character. And the desires and the do's and the don't of, you know, it just blows it right out of the water, you know? It's like, you know, it's like saying, do you want this little Land Rover heel over here? Or would you like to come join us on the mountain? You know, no, I'll stay here with my hand heel. Thank you. Just beautiful. Just so far beyond the character. Okay, the next entry, I asked simply, what would you have me see and do today? Inner wisdom said, focus on your enthusiasm. It reflects your true desire. Your true desire shall lead you beyond the thoughts of the confused mind. By focusing on your true desire, you do that which is given you to do. Poor little old confused mind. And that's the one that historically I've turned to go, now what do we do? I don't know. Inner wisdom says, all is well is not meant to be a palliative. Not meant to just, you know, make me feel better. It's a statement of fact. All is well. Lean into that knowledge. Draw on it for your willingness to see the truth that is. You need not struggle to keep up or to keep up appearances. It is your truth. Yeah, and I think that gets back to a little bit of what Regina was talking about. You know, do you want to be famous or do you want to realize truth? on a smaller scale, albeit, but really it's not like, you know, am I going to understand what I come across well enough to teach it on Sunday or teach it in gentle healing or, you know, follow your heart. Take the next step. Do what is given you to do. Because this journey is a journey within myself. This journey is a journey where I discover the truth. And as I discover the truth, then I'm done through, like Regina said, right? It's like teaching without words. Inner Wisdom says, there are no shortcuts here. You have that which you require. There is no magic here. You need merely consistently apply what you have learned in order to remove the filter through which you see and hear and relate to others. You still seem to believe that you can master the techniques. You still seem to believe that you can master the techniques and that in so doing, you will see what you need to see. As I have told you, your journey is not so much about what you do, but what you choose to allow yourself to experience. You know, it's the thinking mind has always learned that way, right? Now, how do you do this again? Okay, I'll practice, I'll get really good at it, right? I'll have that whole technique mastered. But that's, I mean, I can just feel the duality in that, right? This one is going to master this technique, and you know, I still seem to believe that, oh, and magically some kind of, you know, enlightenment is going to appear out of that. That's not what's being done here. Inner Wisdom says, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention is an excellent question to ask yourself to ensure that you are opening to that which is meant to bring you realization. And really, isn't that the practice, right? I mean, am I paying attention to how I show up even? Right? Not have I managed to be nice, even though I'm going, I really don't like that person, but watch me be nice. See, I mastered that technique. You know, that's not helpful. Are you paying attention? If you feel inclined not to like that person, not to be nice, am I paying attention? What's going on? Where's that inclination coming from? What is my experience? Not what are they doing? Not, it'd be so much better if they didn't do, hello, kitty. I didn't know you had a kitty, too. Or I'd forgotten. George. Are you paying attention? And it doesn't, you know, if I'm paying attention, it doesn't matter how things come out, you know, how I'm perceived. I mean, what we know is that if I'm paying attention, if I'm investigating what's really going on with me, you know, that natural softness just occurs. that you know, like my cat, she sticks her butt in the camera. That's what she thinks of my natural softness, I guess. But if I'm paying attention, if I'm doing the work, then what needs to occur in the world, whether it's, you know, what I need to do based on, you know, my role in the world, my role with waking, all that will take care of itself. And it will take care of itself within the flow of the Tao, exactly the way it's supposed to. You know, it's the difference between Regina, she was showing us a while ago, beating your head up against those books or just opening and allowing what's to happen to happen. So it's not about my actions in the world. And Am I paying attention to what's occurring within me? Inner wisdom says, you cannot skim over the parts of being that you don't like. I was going to skim right to the end. You cannot skim over the parts of being that you don't like. It is here that the greatest realization comes. Yesterday, you experienced two incidents of defense of others. Let us look at those. This came right after I had given the talk. This was on Thursday after my Sunday talk on not defending myself. Okay, great. I can just not do those actions. But there's more. Let's look at these incidents of defense of others. And I said, yes, tell me about the energy I felt in defense of my friend and of my husband yesterday. Inner wisdom says, and in one thing, somebody told somebody to do something. I'm like, well, they can't tell you to do that. You don't have to do that. You do whatever, you know. And just immediately this rawr. And I had really been focusing on not defending myself. I hadn't considered it extending to defense of others. But man, I felt that conflict energy come up. It's like, whoa, you know, talk about being hard. It's like, you know, you're going through the clouds and you hit a building, you know. it was strong. It was really strong. And then Tom was looking into renting this house and it just sounded too good to be. Oh, no, that wasn't it. he was on the phone with, he was trying to figure out how to get internet and he has no technical expertise. And this guy was, he was talking to somebody at, you know, 11 o'clock at night or not, you know, late at night. And he was talking to some fella and, India or some foreign country, and I'm just like, don't give that guy your information. Don't, you know, I'm on top of it. You know, you can't talk to people on the phone like that. Stop it. You're going to get hurt. You know, he's going to steal all your money and all your information. Again, just he's saying those things out loud. It just like, it just doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel good. It's the opposite of trust. Inner wisdom said, as you noted, it is the same as defense of self. It is the belief that conflict is the solution that brings peace and safety. Isn't that funny? That's hilarious, right? You know, you don't have to do that. Let me help you get peace, you know, by showing you how to be in conflict. It makes no sense. And, you know, and Connie's been repeating that phrase lately, you know, the ends and the means and the ends are the same. You know, you don't get to peace through conflict. You don't get to softness through hardness. Yeah, that's what war is all about. Yeah, John says, Tracy Chapman had a song. She said, why are the missiles called peacekeepers when they're aimed to kill? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's the way the ego thinks. If I only have these things, I'll be safe, happy, and peaceful. And it's not true. That's clear listening to the ego. So I think by defending others, I'm going to make them happy. And frankly, I only want other people around me to be happy so that I can be happy. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works. That's the way the ego's thinking works. Well, if they're happy, then I can just relax. So again, defense of others is the belief that conflict is the solution that brings peace and safety. Until you are willing to let go conflict as a solution, you will continue to call forth experiences where you get to practice conflict. This is not necessary. You know its valuelessness to you. And so I asked, and I got to tell you, particularly, I mean, in both of those incidents, man, that was upon me like that. I was like, they can't tell you what to do. I mean, boom, I was right there. And Tom, don't tell him all your information. You know, I mean, boom, boom. I didn't pause. Think about how should I respond in this situation. I mean, it was knee jerk. So I said, Can you help me to recognize and let go of the urge to attack and defend or participate in conflict energy? Inner wisdom says, yes, but you must pay attention to how you feel. You must also pause before responding in each and every situation. That seems like a tall order. Yeah. But I, you know what? It's like these intentions that I have set. It's like, I don't always catch, you know, like be kind in every situation and look for ways to be kind in every encounter, for affirmative ways to be kind. And, you know, some of the stuff that I came up with as an action plan for my spiritual aspiration in this recent Resolving for Truth retreat. If I set that as my intention to pause for, in this instance, then when I don't pause, at the very least, I get to go, oh, see there, I didn't pause, and see how that turned out. So, I mean, so you do train yourself to do these things. You know, certainly, since I set an intention not to defend, when I defend, it's so obvious, even if it's subtle, you know. Again, like the thing I used in my Sunday homily, you know, did you take out the garbage? I can hear myself think, no, I forgot. Right? Even though I might just say no. So, I mean, I just think that if you set the intention, then the practice follows. I think it becomes easier and easier to practice given a clear intention. My intention is to pause. You must also pause before responding in each and every situation and ask me, how am I to see this? The pause is important to gaining ground toward realization, because otherwise, this is good, otherwise you're always looking at experience in hindsight with the mind of the critic. Oh, there you screwed it up again. Right? Oh, you attacked again. Oh, you attacked. And so, you know, I remember Regina teaching, you all have heard the teaching where she talks about she used to scream at Jasmine, and that once she began to understand why she was screaming at Jasmine and set that intention not to scream at Jasmine, you know, at first she just thought it was, like I said a minute ago, knee jerk. You know, it just happened so quickly, right? But once you set the intention, the thoughts slow down. There's a gap. Like the blah, blah gap we were just looking at a moment ago. There's a gap between thoughts. And it turns out this knee-jerk reaction was never really an automatic reaction at all. So until we set this intention, whatever the intention is, for me here, it's to pause and ask in each and every situation. But once you set the intention, that really slows the process down so that there's actually time between stimulus and response. Time for you to go, oh yeah, I was going to pause when this happened next time. Again, otherwise, we're always looking back going, well, screwed that up. You know, I wanted to be a better person. I clearly wasn't in that situation. Because we look at that experience in hindsight and with the mind of the critic, or I do. I tend to do that. It says the pause allows you to choose the higher vibrational thought and action, which moves you up in vibration in that moment, not in some imagined future moment where you imagine yourself doing better. It's really funny, but because before we went to this retreat, I had no idea. I don't remember writing this, but this is just so on point. It is so on point for a more intentional way of being, a way that will bring greater clarity in my thoughts and actions. The pause allows you to choose the higher vibrational thought and action, which moves you up in vibration in that moment, not in some imagined future moment where you imagine yourself doing better. I said, in case it wasn't clear enough, I said, the pause. The pause then is the practice you recommend for me now. Inner Wisdom says, yes. Just as you saw with Mr. Rogers. And I was so taken with that. I still haven't seen the movie, but I was just so taken with all the videos I watched around that, including a long interview with Mr. Rogers, and just what a sweet, kind, soft soul he was. Inner Wisdom says, just as you saw with Mr. Rogers, there really is no need to rush in. Slowing down and pausing allows you to connect with your heart and allow it to guide your emotions and actions. Inner Wisdom says, I look forward to playing this game with you. We shall follow the play of this game until playing it seems to come naturally, which it is, and the combative, quick responses you experience now are no longer. Again, humbled and grateful. All is well. Blessings. This is a. This next entry is a gentle healing entry. A gentle healing homework. We were to look at sentences and then write what. Let me see if that's. I don't know. Write something. Contemplate them and write. So I'm going to read you my contemplation. Creation is the sum of all thoughts which are given believing attention by all of the people in the world, in all of the world, in number infinite. I contribute to creation whenever I give believing attention to any thought. Because I create, I see that I am. I am not a body living in a world. I hold the world within my mind. Mind, and this is certainly the way Course in Miracles uses the word mind, and I'm not talking about the thinking mind here. Mind is all there is. The world is the grand dance of the thoughts of God. Resting beyond the thoughts, I see the I am for what it is, not merely those thoughts upon which I focus attention. Seeing the I am for what it is my true desire. God's messages to me speak of my true self. I hear these messages as I let go believing attention on the outer as outer. In seeing the, again, quote unquote, outer for what it is, I let go the desire for outer and increase my curiosity and willingness to see only that which endures, which is changeless, which is God. A while ago when Regina was teaching the Tao, says, if you put this off, I think we were still talking about intentionless, you will endure. You will long endure. And I noticed that those words were also in the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song we heard. Southern Cross. Love will endure, and you know it will. And I see this word again here. I let go the desire for outer and increase my curiosity and willing to see only that which endures, which is changeless, which is God. I asked Inner Wisdom, Father, how do I give up listening to fear? On the same day. I don't know. Maybe it'll come back to me why I asked that particular question that particular day. Maybe not. The answer, by recognizing it is not you, even though it seems to speak to you in your voice and with a seeming knowledge that reason tells you could only be you. You are not the voice in your head. This you know. You must remember to greet this voice with that knowledge. Wait for another voice to inform your thoughts and your actions. Once again, when you pause, you allow the false voice to rest and eventually die. As you lose interest in its counsel, you see that you need not listen to it. The only advice it has ever given you was how to keep the voice alive. Again, it's like, you know, it's full of all these false promises, but all it ever, the only advice that it cares about, this voice in my head, this ego, the confused mind, is keeping that voice alive. It's reason for being. For that reason, you must refuse its advice. I am leading you beyond your current recognition to that which is true, that which is changeless, that which is you. Make this your one desire, your one goal, in choosing firmly that it is here where you will invest your believing attention. You've truly invested in yourself. By loving me, you love yourself. Okay, and then this is after the Resolving for Truth retreat. I said, "Hello, Father!" Exclamation point. I'm very excited about the new goals I have set. This was the day after the retreat. I am disappointed that a friend seems disappointed in me. What would you say to me today about either of these things or anything else? Inner Wisdom said, your disappointment weighs heavily upon you, so let's address that first. You feel your friend learned the truth about you, and this led to her disappointment in you. First, you have no idea how your friend feels. Know that you are making this up in support of the I am bad belief. Second, the quote, truth about you, end quote, could never lead to anyone's disappointment. There is no disappointment in truth. Disappointment is merely misperception. Disappointment is merely misperception. There is no disappointment in truth. Wow. Third, any disappointment you imagine can only be your own. Because I have told you that disappointment is not real, you need not worry over it. Allow yourself to understand that disappointment is negative self-talk that you are indulging. With that reminder, you may simply let it go. And I did. I'm like, oh, all right. And I simply let it go. I mean, but yeah, I'm just really, I love those sentences. I don't know that I loved them when I wrote them, but I love them now. There is no disappointment in truth. Disappointment is merely misperception. You know, it's certainly the... it's wanting something to be different, right? We talked about that in Channel Healing the other night. It's looking back, wishing that it had been different. You know, it's obvious that that's not true, that that's not truth, that's not seeing with any kind of clarity. Disappointment is merely misperception. We too are excited about the journey upon which you have embarked. Your new habits will assist you in letting go your fear that you, quote, can't get it right. By unmasking this fear for what it is, an untruth and an ego preservation strategy. Rest in the knowledge that all is well for it is. And this whole can't get it right thing, you know, it's obviously a variant on the I am bad belief. And you know, one that I've invested in for a long time. And I think this transition that we're making in the structure or the leadership of Awakening Together really heightens this for me. You know, Regina Dawn Akers, she's a tough act to follow. So this is just some real straight talk about, you know, that's BS. Inner Wisdom might have said. Inner Wisdom didn't say that. But, you know, it's like, there's no truth. Can you not see there's no truth in this? That's what's being said. There's no truth in that. It says, my new habits, and we can talk about those in a second, will assist you in letting go your fear that you can't get it right by unmasking this fear for what it is, an untruth and an ego preservation strategy. Why are you listening to this when it comes up 14 times a day? Why are you listening to it? It's an ego preservation strategy. Rest in the knowledge that all is well, for it is. Remember that your spiritual aspiration is be kind, and that true kindness always begins with being kind to yourself. You are love. You are loved. And so it was interesting when we looked up, when we looked at what was important to us before writing our spiritual aspirations, one of them, I'm trying to think how it came up. I know we're about out of time. I have it right here. Oh yeah, we are about out. One of them was, blah, 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 blah. Sorry. So we looked at what was important to us, and then we looked at the obstacles to what was important to us. That's the step I was missing. And one of the obstacles was fear of failure. And so part of what I have worked into my daily action plan to support my goals of not participating in this fear is my ability, my time management skills. So I have an action plan, a calendar plan designed to increase my time management skills, and it's working beautifully. So, you know, I mean, it's just a real helpful tool in letting go of that particular flavor of negative self-talk. So, all right, guys, we are out of time. I love you. Thanks for being here. Bye. See you next time.